Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz along with Michael Wiseman. We appreciate everybody for listening, for downloading, and for subscribing to the podcast. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn app, and also on SoundCloud. Rate and review the podcast. Michael is finally back at home. He is off the road. He can enjoy doing the podcast from his fine office in his comfortable settings. And, of course, with an ice-cold adult beverage. Right, Mikey?
That is exactly right, Brian. And I just discovered we can put our names back down here. Look at that. Look at this.
Whoa!
Live broadcast. It's happening. My name is back down here. That is right. I am Michael Wiseman, at The Real Wiseman on Twitter. As you can see, if you're watching us live, I'm off the road for a little while. I might be back on the road next week, but I think we're still going to be able to manage to work out doing the video. And yeah, it feels good to be back in my own domain, surrounded by my stuff, to be able to see your smiling face across the screen from me. I'm just going to turn this name off right now because that's
please kinda, do. That's annoying.
It's distracting, but we will work out our own little version of that we can put back up here for people watching us live. If you are watching us live, join us in the chat room. There is a live chat happening right now, and we need some activity.
Yeah, so feel free to take part in the chat. And also, I'm sure there's a little button right below us, like if I point down, right down there somewhere. Yeah. It's called subscribe. And you can subscribe to us by clicking on that button. So please subscribe to us on YouTube as well.
Yeah, you can do that. I have bad news, though, Brian. This week is not the week with the return of the Frosty Beverage. I skipped the Frosty Beverage this go-around, and instead opted for a little bit of black tea here in my mug today. So I got a little bit of Earl Grey black tea, a little bit of honey mixed in there. Trying to cut some carbs, cut some calories in my diet, and the beer of the week is just taking a week off this week.
It's taken a couple of weeks off. It's
taken a couple weeks off. Well, I've had beers of my weeks, just not while we recorded the podcast.
I got you. I totally understand that. So. Well, but cheers. We got a bunch of stuff to get to this week when it comes to WWE. We'll get to some questions coming up later on in the podcast as well. There's really not one big overwhelming story really to start off with. I guess the biggest thing that's going on right now, especially when it comes to WWE, is the injury bug has hit the company from the standpoint that on Raw, they've been pushing, you know, Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns as the biggest program that they have going on right now. And they did a match a few weeks ago, and then after the match, Reigns beat up Braun Strowman using a door from an ambulance and whatnot. And, you know, they did that big attack and then they did it again a couple of weeks ago on Raw. And, you know, they were talking about how Braun Strowman had a torn rotator cuff. And we were like, well, if that was in fact the case, he'd be out for 6 or 8 months. And we knew he didn't have a torn rotator cuff. However, he really is injured. And for whatever reason, they decided to explain it on TV with the torn rotator cuff when, in fact, he has an injured elbow and he's going to have surgery and it's going to sideline him for 1 or 2 months. So that's a big blow right now to Raw that they are going to be without Braun Strowman for a little while.
Have we figured out what caused the elbow? Was it the running through the, have they said running through the ambulance door or what happened?
They haven't said anything yet. And I'm sure that had something to do with it. It could just be wear and tear because him and Reigns have been working, you know, really hard matches. I mean, it's been a lot of street fights. Even on the European tour, what they've been doing is Braun Strowman would come out to the ring and he would say, Roman Reigns isn't here. And Roman Reigns would show up. And then they would have like an impromptu fight. And it would always end with Reigns putting Braun through a table.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, it's, you know, who would have ever thought, like, go back just a few months ago and say, you know, Braun Strowman gets injured, it's really going to hurt Raw. And that's the place that we're at right now, is that it's really hurting Raw that Braun Strowman is not there and he is banged up. I mean, so now they have to figure out what they're going to do with Braun for the next pay-per-view, maybe two pay-per-views. They have to figure out what they're going to do with Roman in the meantime. So they really have to shuffle some things around right now on Raw.
Yeah, it's just a weird time, and it's a time where it doesn't feel like the prestige is there with the brand. We're lacking some depth of roster. Losing somebody like this at this point, at this juncture, is difficult, especially when people already expect pro wrestling to go into a lull this time of the year. So it's interesting, it's curious. We'll have to see where they go moving forward, but any big names being absent, including Braun Strowman, really hurts the brand and the company right now, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely. So we're not going to get Braun on the next pay-per-view, the next Raw pay-per-view, which is Extreme Rules. Mm. And it looked like it was going to be him and Roman on that one. And I don't know if they were going to do an ambulance match or a street fight or whatever, but that's off. He might miss the July pay-per-view. That's right. Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire.
And it was believed that they were going to do Braun Strowman against Brock Lesnar on that show. So we know Brock is going to be at that show. We don't know who Brock is going to face. So we talked about this a little bit before, but if it's not going to be Braun, and we don't know that for a fact, I mean, Braun might be able to come back in time for that, but they probably have to prepare as if he's not going to be there. So if it's not going to be him, who is it going to be?
Who knows? I don't have a prediction. That's a tricky prospect.
Well, do you want to put Finn Balor has been talked about. Do you want to put Finn in that position? Do you want to put Seth Rollins in that position? I feel pretty certain they're not going to put Roman there because they want to wait for that match. But if you put Seth or Finn in there, I mean, you're going to have a good match. But to me, it kind of feels like you've got some mileage in both those guys when it comes to a match and a program with Brock Lesnar. And if they just do it on this show, it feels like it's just going to be a one-off just so they can get back on track to Braun Strowman against Brock Lesnar, and that would be at SummerSlam.
It feels like a wasted opportunity. I mean, yeah. That's the thing about it is you're going to go into this knowing that Brock is not actually going to lose the title to Finn or to Seth even because of the fact that they're just simply holding him there until they can get back to their main feud with Braun Strowman going into SummerSlam. So it almost feels wasted no matter what happens now. I think they should do something shocking and surprising and get fans more involved with this storyline. So we know Brock Lesnar's the champion. We know what that means. We're going to be sitting on our hands for 3 months while the world champion is out chopping down trees in Minnesota, right? But what if...
Or he could be shooting gophers in Canada right now.
Oh, that's right. He lives in Canada now. He went over there for universal health care or something, right? But what if...
What a smart man.
I mean, hey, no political affiliation here, but God bless him. God
Brock
bless Canada.
Brock Lesnar is smarter than all of us. We're going to talk about politics later on, but that's another name that maybe needs to run, okay, in 2020. Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay. So are we saying that could be the... if they both run, do you think Brock Lesnar would run as a Republican or a Democrat?
Okay, so let's get into this right now.
Let's
get into this right now because I brought it up. Okay, so The Rock last year, right after the election, was interviewed by Vanity Fair to promote one of his movies, Moana, I believe. And they asked him, would you ever consider running for president? And he said, yeah, I thought about it. And people were kind of like, it's just something that he said. Well, he was just interviewed in the latest edition of GQ magazine, and he was once again asked about it, and he said, I'm seriously considering it. And he went on to talk about what he wants to look for in a president and how he's not just throwing this out there for attention, that he is really considering running for president in 2020. The Rock has spoken at the Republican National Convention before, so he is a Republican, which makes it even much trickier considering that the sitting president is Republican as well. But The Rock is so much charisma and everything that, you know, people are wondering now because we see a president that has been, somebody in the entertainment business or somebody that was a TV star in Donald Trump. Like, could that be repeated with somebody else, another celebrity? And The Rock just has so much charisma. Okay, maybe it could actually happen now. But I joke around about Brock Lesnar because look at the smarts of Brock Lesnar. Smart business guy, knows how to pick his spots, stands up to people, when he needs to, decisive in his decision making. Not to drive people away, but obviously pretty smart when it comes to his healthcare decisions.
Right.
Maybe we should be talking about Brock Lesnar running for president in 2020 as well. I don't know what his party affiliation is.
Well, he's over in Canada. What are the political affiliations in Canada? We have a...
I don't know, but I mean, he's an American citizen as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's curious that Rock has doubled down on this notion, especially this early on. It feels like his movie career has still got a ways to go. I mean...
How much money would he be giving up to run for president?
Yeah, but the guy's a made man already. And basically, he'll turn over all of his stuff for 4 years and then come back and pick up where he left off if he were to get elected. The bigger thing, though, is that it feels like The Rock is on a trajectory right now where he's transitioned from WWE to being action star to eventually being comedy star now. And then it feels like what's next for him is taking on more dramatic roles. I think that's what I would expect from The Rock in the next 5 to 10 years is going after some Oscar caliber roles, trying to land something to shake that image that he is all just muscle and comedy, because The Rock is super intelligent, as we know. So I am surprised The Rock is doubling down on this presidency rumor so early on. It seems to me he would wait until after he's kind of got that Oscar under his belt, and then he wants to come back and then do politics later in life.
He's smart about it now, because we all know if you are serious about running for office, you got to get the money.
Yeah.
So you got to get the word out there now. I will say this. You talk about what's next for The Rock, you know, and you think 5 to 10 years going for an Oscar and doing more dramatic roles. You know where I think The Rock is shooting for in 5 to 10 years? Because everything that this guy has done has turned to gold. Mm-hmm. Like, he goes into wrestling, he tackles that, one of the biggest stars in WWE history. You know, he goes out there and he does movies. He is an A-lister. He makes more money per movie than anybody else in Hollywood right now. Okay. He's got TV shows that are a hit, whether it's Ballers that's on HBO, or, you know, his documentaries that he's doing on CNN. His production company is killing it. Everything this guy does turns to gold. He should be ruler of the galaxy. Okay. That's the role he needs to have. Or if we ever have somebody that's just in charge of planet Earth, that should be The Rock. I feel like he could bring a lot of people together.
Ruler of the Earth. Is this like the head of
the Earth? We
head
need
of the
this
United
role.
Nations? Like, and, is this a real thing? What is
in today's day and age, when we talk about, you know, uncertainty around the planet, I feel like this is a role that we need at this point. And I would nominate The Rock for this, okay? Because he is a very charismatic guy, like I said. People love The Rock. He could talk to you. You feel like he's actually listening. He's very smart, like you said. Everything that he does has been fantastic. I think that he is somebody that can bring people together. He makes people care about one another. He makes you feel good. That's the planet that I want to live on. So, ruler of the Earth, The Rock.
I feel like this has been talked about before, maybe in the book of what is that one?
Genesis?
Book of Genesis. Yeah, the book of Genesis the last one, Revelations. In the book of Revelations, where we are told that under a one-world government, the end of times will be coming. So that is what you're predicting here, Brian, that in 10 years,
it already Revelations. It's starting to feel like that right now, but I can't get too political. I'm sorry.
God, man. You'll get fired. Be careful. You'll get fired. Gonna be huge.
We've already seen that this week. Okay, so I don't know if we need to say more, but let's stay with this for just another second. So when it comes to The Rock, and we don't know is he going to be a Republican? Is he really going to run? Is he going to be a Republican? Is he going to run independent? Could he be Democrat? Whatever his party affiliation is, do you think he has a serious chance if he decides to run in 2020?
Do you want my prediction here? Yeah. Because I'm the guy who said Donald Trump didn't stand a snowball's chance in hell.
We all did. And then
when he doubled down, I was like, there's no way he'll win in the general.
Mike, a year and a half before when he threw his name into it, the dude was at a mall riding an escalator down from the second floor to the first, waving at everybody, and went on to talk about how all Mexicans are rapists, okay?
Yep.
Nobody thought he was going to win.
Yep. I think The Rock could stand a chance. I think the Republican Party is going to be in a situation after these next 4 years where you could put a lot of people into that arena and they could stand a pretty good chance of winning their party. Will they win the election? I think The Rock has a better shot at winning the general than Donald Trump does. I think more people would unite around him because at least he seems level-headed. Well, because he seems level-headed. Don't want to bash too many people, depending on who's watching.
Well, I mean, it's... We'll see. We got a long way to go between now and then. And I understand why he would get people talking about it right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how sincere he is being. Is this something that he's really thinking about? It's one thing to think about it now. It's another thing to think about it in 2 years from now. But it's something to definitely watch. I'm just curious to see where it plays out, because that's kind of where we're going into politics, from the standpoint of we are seeing out of the box considerations. We've seen people that were in movies before, like Ronald Reagan was a movie star. But then you got into politics, you know, and made his way up to the presidency. This is something we've seen before, but this is the first time we've seen somebody that was like, you know, a high profile person on TV, somebody that people knew, like a Donald Trump, but never been in politics and jumped into it. And now, you know, people are wondering, like, okay, could this happen again? And people like The Rock so much, and he's a smart guy, he's a very ambitious guy, that maybe it is something that he will seriously consider. And maybe that's something people say, you know what, I like that dude, I like what he has to say. Because, I mean, it's not just what you say, obviously. It's how you say it.
Sure.
We saw a lot of that in this election.
Sure.
And we know that The Rock and the way that he can convey a message is something that will win over a lot of people, or potentially win over a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, he's got the showmanship. He's got the ability to connect with people. I think he could bring a little bit of middle-of-the-road politics back to his party. And it would be interesting to see. I don't think he will win the election in 2020. I don't think he will run in 2020. I think 2024 would be a more likely scenario. I don't think he will win his party's nomination.
Let's see Braun Strowman run for president. You know, just the promos that would come off of that.
Yeah. Can we see Roman Reigns run for president? That would be glorious.
Oh, my God.
That would be amazing.
He wouldn't make it out of Iowa.
At least he's getting it. Republicans would say, at least he's getting a reaction. At least
exactly,
they're reacting
right?
to him.
So, well, you know, I don't know what they're going to do when it comes to Lesnar, you know, at that pay-per-view. If Braun's not around. I don't know what they're going to do with Roman Reigns. I mean, I think that's the bigger one that they got to figure out right now, because it feels pretty obvious to me. They don't want to do Roman and Brock right now. And they got to figure out what else they're going to do. I wonder if maybe they would transition Roman off to somebody like a Bray Wyatt for like a month or two. And yeah, we've seen it before, but I don't think Roman's taking time off of TV. I mean, it's bad enough right now that Braun is missing and what he has meant to the show. Lesnar's obviously not there right now. And if you took Roman off that show on a week-to-week basis, despite the reaction that he gets, they're missing some star power at that point.
Right. The brand shakeup has limited Raw's roster in such a way that Raw feels like not just a B show, but almost a C show right now. And nothing against the talent that are on there, but when you're positioning your Intercontinental Championship as the belt, and the guys who are in your main event slot are missing, and the fans are not reacting the way you want them to, there are so many gaps in this roster. Now, the talent that are there, they're doing great work. Don't get me wrong. But I'm surprised WWE has not gone into more of a reactionary mode with the injuries, with the lack of a main eventer there on Raw. I'm surprised we're not seeing somebody get brought over from SmackDown. Wouldn't this be a great time for AJ Styles to show up? Listen, I'm here. You want me on this brand? I got traded. Something like that to generate some excitement and fill in some holes. But they're just along for the ride. I think that's what's driving me crazy, is do something. Do something. You have this spot where fans aren't reacting, where you're having mediocre shows. Do something surprising. What's stopping you? What is stopping you?
Look at the shows that they had this week, okay? Because I don't think the crowd in London or over in the UK was crazy for either Raw or SmackDown. But you just look at the general reactions of everything. And, you know, we're getting on Raw, we're still getting Miz, you know, against Dean Ambrose, which is a holdover from SmackDown. Over on SmackDown, you know, they're trying with Jinder Mahal, which is a new face that a guy that we've talked about before is jumping up like 18 levels to go from, you know, jobber to main event guy, you know, in one leap. And there's the shows are just boring right now. I mean, it makes it even more boring when the crowd isn't into it. And I'm wondering right now when it looks to it, okay, what should the blame be more on? That they haven't come up with compelling storylines? Or is it that WWE is just doing a bad job in making their talent out to look like superstars that you have to go out of your way to watch? I think those are two different things, and probably both of them are hurting right now, because there's obviously talent, but there's a difference between having a talented person and having somebody that really feels like a huge star that you want to watch on TV.
Yeah, and they've done a poor job of... There's two pieces to it, though, Brian. They've done a poor job, like you mentioned, of building up the talent in the previous few months. They focused so much on Taker versus Roman, on kind of these stopgap measures that didn't go anywhere, that the talent have not been built up to fill in the holes when the holes arise. But the other thing is, they're still not positioning them in the right way. They're still not putting the stars on TV in a way that says, hey, listen, this guy is a star. What have they done with Finn since he's returned to make him feel like a superstar?
Not much. They haven't done anything to make him stand out.
Have they done something surprising? Have they generated some excitement? Listen, part of the reason Braun Strowman is so over right now is because they generated a commotion with him by having him take on Roman Reigns and basically at certain points having him destroy Roman Reigns. These other guys, this even Steven booking, this will put you in the middle of the card in these six-man tag matches. You have guys like Seth Rollins who were so over 6, 7, 8 months ago who now... they're just another guy in a sea of faces. And I think that's the issue. We have to position our guys to look better than others if you want them to get over. And they're not doing that. They're not highlighting the strengths of these guys.
Well, if you want to do something surprising, what would you suggest?
I mean, I said it a second ago. I think AJ Styles showing up on Raw would fill a lot of your holes in. I think SmackDown would be fine without AJ Styles right now. And I think you could create some excitement by putting him in there and having him face Roman Reigns. Again, that was a great match a year and a half ago. Start that feud up again. There are so many possibilities if he were to show up on Raw. Plus, he's already an established main eventer.
Do you think people, when we talk about shock value or doing something to really excite people, do you think enough people would be excited if they actually finally played off of the Bullet Club and did something with Gallows, Anderson, and Balor?
Nope. I think it's too late. I think you could do that, and it would be a fun little pop. I guess if AJ Styles showed up and you did that, that would be the creative way to do it. I think the Bullet Club on its own doesn't generate excitement. Having AJ there generates the excitement, and it gives credence to the Bullet Club as a whole, or to the club, as they call it.
Yeah. But you're probably right. I mean, I guess it would just depend on what they did. Like, did they really in a position where they run wild on people? And I think it would have to be something kind of like what the Bullet Club is, and that they're heels, but they are cool heels. And I know that goes against a lot of like principles that I like when it comes to wrestling, but that is what made the Bullet Club so cool and so popular. And that's what you want right now, something that's popular that you want to go out of your way to watch.
Sure, and you could do something with the stars that are there. You could make Roman Reigns a cool heel. I mean...
are you sure about that?
I'm telling you, if you were to turn him heel next week on Raw, the response would be monstrous. It would be fans losing their minds because they don't believe Vince McMahon will do it. And by defying those expectations... you would get Roman Reigns over in a way that he's not been over yet.
But would that just be a short-term thing? Like, for a couple of weeks, people are like, hey, cool, they finally did it. They turned Roman heel, and then they just went away from it. They're like, there's Roman Reigns again. Or do you think people would actually be into it?
I think people would be into it, because here's what would happen. At that point, people would be booing Roman Reigns, and he could play off of it. What's so dumb about it right now is that he walks out to the ring and has to ignore it, or has to do stupid things like... this is my yard, and walk out. But if he could actually play off of those boos, it would give him a chance to practice his mic work. And then he could actually embrace, to take a really terrible tagline from a few years back, he could embrace the hate. And I think that would create your Roman Reigns star power that we haven't seen yet.
Next thing you do is you're going to tell me to get the F out.
Get the F out, baby.
That was just the anniversary of that.
I know. It's awesome.
God.
Worst tagline of ever. Do you remember how weird it was? How strange was it when they first announced this to call everything WWE? World Wrestling Entertainment. Wasn't that so strange?
Very strange. You know what anniversary you just had too? Was it like the 16-year anniversary of the plane ride from hell?
Oh, was it? Oh, the plane ride from hell.
The infamous plane ride from hell.
God. That was a story back in the day. That was a scandal.
That was a crazy story when more and more stuff started to come out about that.
Yeah.
About like Kurt Hennig and Brock Lesnar were wrestling on a plane and people worried like they were going to hit the door or something. Like, I mean, I think that part's overblown, but there's always like one or two people that say, yeah, we were worried they were like going to hit the thing on the door. The door was going to open up as we're at 30,000 feet, you know, which really wasn't close to happening. just how many, the drunkenness that was on there, X-Pac cutting off Michael P.S. Hayes' mullet. And then going to TV that week and taping it up on the wall. Like, he pinned it up on the wall, like, as a proud souvenir. There was some craziness. I think on that flight, is that where Goldust serenaded, Melina, or his ex-wife.
No.
Was that on a different flight?
Matt, was that it? I don't remember all the details. Let's see here. WWE plane ride from hell.
Yeah. Bring that up.
I mean, it literally has a Google autocomplete.
Oh, absolutely. It does, man. This is a big deal. It was like 16 years ago, I think.
It seems
right?
like you know more about it than
there was
even
a lot of stuff that came on for that thing, man. I mean, there was a lot of apologizing later, and there was some changes.
Oh, you're right. He was serenading his ex-wife Terry Reynolds until being told to stop by WWE Vice President of Talent Relations Jim Ross,
because he got the thing that the flight attendants use. He got on that and was singing to everybody.
Yep. Michael Hayes was involved with a physical incident with Bradshaw after heavy drinking, allegedly punching him. This is what Jim Ross said about the flight in his now-defunct Ross Report on WWE.com. The flight was about 7 hours in length and at times was low-lighted by a handful of people who consumed too much alcohol and consequently acted like children whose parents were away and left the liquor cabinet unlocked. The conduct of this inebriated minority was unacceptable and will not be tolerated. Procedures have been put in place to ensure such conduct does not occur in the future. The bottom line is this. Yours truly is the person in charge of the talent roster, and the buck stops with me. We will do all we humanly can to solve the problem. Here's what's funny. This is the good stuff. Ross noted that Scott Hall, who was said to have been asleep during the flight, was not involved with any incident.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so crazy. That's the guy you would expect would actually be involved in this and doing some shenanigans. And
he went out of their way to say, Scott, no, he wasn't involved. Because that's when Scott came back. Him and Nash had come back for the NWO, right?
Yep.
Mm. We see how much attention that got at the time and how much people still remember that. Imagine if something like that happened now.
That'd be crazy. It would. Well, here's what's different about it, though.
I'm telling you, it could be like a network news.
The thing about it that's different now is that there are so many more eyes on professional wrestling. And back then, there were a lot of eyes. Like, there have been more fans of Raw in the past. Professional wrestling had its boom during the Monday Night Wars, as we know. But in general, there's more pop culture focus on pro wrestling now. Sites like TMZ cover the wrestlers because they are celebrities. There's so much more news and intranet that people outside of wrestling would hear about it, whereas the plane ride from hell, you could ask a lot of casual fans and they don't even know what you're talking about. This day and age, it would just be massive.
This was before the company went public, too, right?
Well, yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Because, let's see, that was in 2002. When did they go public?
2003, 2004.
Yep. When did WWE go public? No. They were public. They went public October 19th, 1999.
Oh, man. That's. That's earlier than I thought. How about those shareholders? Hey, did you hear what the talent was doing in the plane?
It's crazy to me, but the difference is, too, is that now it seems like your roster is so much more, they're so much better behaved.
They absolutely are. I mean, if you look at the guys on there, there's always going to be a couple outliers, but the people that are on there now, I mean, the transition from back in the day where there was a lot of drinking, there's a lot of pills or a lot of this and that, and I mean, there are some aspects of that, but it's more of guys aren't racing to go get liquored up all the time. It's more of, I want to chill out. You know, I don't want to go to the bar necessarily. I just want to go chill out, check out my social media, play video games, have a good conversation with somebody else, throw back a couple of drinks maybe, I mean, it's just a different environment.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, it's so different this day and age. Being a celebrity is a lot different in pro wrestling. You have different spotlights on you. You're probably involved in other interests. I think that's something unique now, too. People like Xavier Woods, people like Dolph Ziggler. A lot of wrestlers have interests outside of wrestling that they want to pursue in their later years. And back then, it was just you're on the road 365 and you live that life day in, day out.
So when it came to Raw and SmackDown, I don't think there was anything that really necessarily stood out from hey, this was great. There were some good matches this week, but there was nothing that really stood out that was tremendous. And like I said, the crowd reactions just weren't there for a lot of the shows. On Raw, they did the tag team turmoil, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Sheamus and Cesaro really stand out, really coming together, you know, as a heel tag team now. The main event between Miz and Ambrose was fine, but it's, or I mean, Wyatt and Ambrose with Miz interfering. It was fine, but it was nothing really, really stood out to me. And I mean, we kind of figured out what the finish was going to be. Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins had another good match, but for whatever reason, the crowd is just not into them at all right now. Yeah. And there's just something missing right now where they haven't made either of those guys totally feel special, especially when it comes to Rollins, who's the guy that's been around a lot longer on the main roster, that, you know, they've been desperately trying to get over like as a major babyface, and they're still having trouble doing it. They still can't get it accomplished.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how Seth Rollins has fallen off the perch a little bit. Nothing, I think he puts his heart, soul, mind, body into this. Nothing against him. Yeah. And I don't even blame Samoa Joe here. Samoa Joe was put in a pretty good position coming from NXT, being put into the main roster. But the issue is his personality has been very one note, and all you think of is that he beat up Seth Rollins and now he's fighting Seth Rollins. And I don't know what you had to fix that, but I feel like he kind of got overshadowed by the Seth Rollins Triple H thing fairly quickly. And I think that hurt him. What he became was he became the muscle, but not the kind of muscle that is going to evolve and do his own thing. He just became, well, he's Triple H's lackey.
But isn't this where the vignettes and the promos and things like that get over the personality? And we still haven't even seen, like, we've seen a couple of these, but we haven't seen the overwhelming Samoa Joe. Well, we've seen a couple of times, actually, but Samoa Joe just attacking somebody and injuring it, because, I mean, we did see that with Seth, obviously, but are we getting enough viciousness out of a guy that's a heel to get him over, you know, in that manner? Like, Samoa Joe is the vicious heel. The Miz is the smarmy, will do anything heel, you know? He's the chicken bleep heel, you know, things like that, you know. Are they really taking these guys to the nth degree to where you get those reactions and people care about them more?
The problem is that you've got to position these guys. You got to have what you said. You definitely have to have that monster heel moment where he attacks and beats the crap out of somebody. If he's going to be a monster heel, you've got to have more of him on the mic saying he's going to kill people, doing a couple of vignettes showing how bad he was in NXT. They've done a little bit of that, but I don't feel like consistently enough. But bigger deal here, you've got to put these guys in positions where they can show that more often. And I think Samoa Joe has been stuck. He's been a product of this push-pull, right? You get pushed out there right before Mania, then you're not on the Mania card. And then you get pushed out there afterwards, but he should have conquered and gone on to do something else. He should have shown how vicious he was and moved on to something different where he could, again, be in front of more fans. And I think that's where you're losing some of the momentum with these guys. Braun Strowman was vicious day in, day out, day in, day out. I think what they did with Cesaro and Sheamus on Monday night highlighted them as heels in a very big way. Because why? Well, they made Goldust and R-Truth sympathetic. God bless them. They did it. They made those guys likable for just a couple of hours, and then Sheamus and Cesaro shut down their magical run. That's a great heel moment. And I think Samoa Joe needed to have another moment besides just fighting Seth Rollins week in, week out.
So a week after we talked about Jinder Mahal and what they're doing with him and Randy Orton, how do you feel about Jinder being in the main event and possibly the next champion on SmackDown a week after that?
I still think it's a prime time. I think it's going to happen. Doubling down prediction happening.
I think it still could. You know what one of the biggest issues I have with Jinder right now too? It's not just the massive jump up that he did to the main event status. I don't like his finisher.
It feels weak. It feels weak.
It feels weak, you know? I mean, if there was something, I'm not exactly sure what he could do. It doesn't feel like there's enough oomph with that thing. It's just like, okay. I mean, I see all these other things that can literally come out of nowhere, like an RKO, or just look a little bit more vicious or whatever. But when he does that slam, it doesn't feel like it's anything special.
Yeah, but guys have gotten through this before. I mean, Edge had the DDT for the longest time. It's all about how you position that and how you sell it. I think you could do a better job of selling that it is a high-impact, damaging move, but it still feels like another backdrop, you know?
How is the crowd in Chicago going to respond to this in, you know, a little over a week from now when they have Backlash?
I don't know. With CM Punk chants, is that the default response nowadays? They're just going
to
respond.
No, I'm just saying, what are they going to say to Jinder Mahal? Yeah, I mean, like, what's the reaction going to be? I mean, I think it's going to be overwhelmingly towards, you know, Randy Orton, which it should, babyface wise. But I'm curious to see how nasty you could get for Jinder, possibly.
I don't think so. I think if Jinder were to win the championship, I think the pop about seeing the title change hands would be big enough to cover up any misgivings about, oh, we don't like this guy. I also think there's not a general hatred towards Jinder like there is other guys like Roman Reigns, for example. So there's still some space for the crowd to kind of figure out. Now, they are a smarter crowd, so they might have some preconceived notions about whether or not Jinder Mahal should be in this position. But let's all be happy it's not somebody like Great Khali. I think Dave Bautista would get a worse reaction in Chicago than Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was set to see, but hey, here's the thing that I did like about SmackDown, okay? I think you could probably guess where I'm going here.
Uh-huh.
I like Breezango. I like the backstage vignettes that they're doing with the guys. I like that they gave him a decisive win. I like the Fashion Files, and they're doing the fake Law and Order.
You're building up characters. You're giving them meaningful wins on television. You're doing all the things you have to do to make stars. SmackDown's been doing it for a year. They have a thinner roster, right? As people always say, they have a thinner tag team division. So what do? They establish new talents using tried and true wrestling techniques. Put them on TV, give them fun vignettes, make the audience connect with them, give them wins.
I love it.
It works.
I like that they're having fun with the backstage vignettes. Yeah. I like that they do the Law and Order thing, and they don't even have the official dump-dump. It's them going, dump-dump, you know, or whatever, you know. It's them humming different sounds, you know, from Law and Order and having fun with it. So
it's goofy, but it fits their characters.
And the guys can work. That's the thing, too. I'm not saying, oh, we're having these five-star match of the year things, but they're both really good in the ring. So let them do that. And they both got personalities, obviously. They've been together for a while now.
It takes time. Like, you've got to do something at some point to either get them over or break them apart. I don't want another situation where we have two guys paired up indefinitely. Like, R-Truth and Goldust are a prime example of this. These guys have been together for years now, and they both just feel like wasted space on Raw or SmackDown at certain points.
Mike, those guys were 36-0 for the year heading into the tag team turmoil match on Raw. That's why they got that opportunity. They were unbeaten so far in 2017.
Right. Well, who did they face?
I'm serious, though. They were like 36-0 going into that match.
Who did they face? I mean, they went on all these house shows. Who did they face?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, the Ascension, I don't know.
Locally.
Well, actually, the Ascension's on SmackDown.
Hey, it could happen.
Yeah. It could happen. I don't know. But, I mean, they've been a team for a while. They were on this winning streak, apparently, that we didn't know about till like right before. And then they went out there and they did exactly what they should have done. They lost in tag team turmoil. And I would not be surprised if come Raw on Monday, we saw Sheamus and Cesaro face R-Truth and Goldust in a tag team match.
Yeah, but what will happen at that point is that the Raw writing team will inevitably give that win back to Sheamus or back to Cesaro and Goldust.
Cesaro and Goldust are not a team.
I said Goldust and R-Truth.
Okay, there you go.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Inevitably, like, they'll give them back the win.
Am I missing a team here? What happened? Yeah,
that was the deal at this match on Monday night. They had to switch partners, and it's tag team turmoil.
Here's one other thing I don't understand. We saw the success of Charlotte when she became a heel. Like, when she first got transitioned from NXT to the WWE main roster, they used her as a babyface, and it just wasn't clicking. So what they do, they turned her heel. She's a lot more comfortable. You can see her personality come out a lot more. She shines. She has been a heel for a while, and it's worked out great. So they move her from Raw to SmackDown, and now they are slowly but surely turning her babyface. Why? I don't understand that move at all. It makes no sense.
Yeah. I don't think it's that bad. I think it has potential. I'm not going to challenge it too much. But it'll be interesting.
See, this is where I go back to when it comes to some of the storylines. And I understand not everybody's going to be happy, but if you're going to use the way you should use your talent to me is accentuate their positives, what works best for them. So I understand, like, a guy like Randy Orton, he's been around for a while. So it's a little bit of a different situation because he wants to be a heel, but fans are going to cheer for him because he's been around for so long and he's got a cool finisher, right? But somebody that has not been around as long and somebody that feels and probably performs better From a certain kind of personality like Charlotte, why not keep her that way? So that way she does shine and she is more comfortable and she can be more successful.
Yeah, it doesn't mean she won't. It doesn't mean she will be more successful, though. I think that's where I would push back a little bit. And I would say, I don't think this is an inherently bad thing because
maybe
I think
it's a role she plays better.
And we've not seen her have that great face run on the main roster yet. So I would challenge and say we don't know. I think she's been a great heel, but maybe she wants to diversify a little bit and have a face run for a short time. I question more the decision that we might be turning Becky Lynch heel in the near future. That's what I question.
Yeah,
I question that.
This goes to the whole thing of like, there are certain roles I think people are better played at. You can see that they've already played that role and we've already seen that played at one of their strengths or different things like that. And I think for some reason, WWE likes to shy away from that sometimes. So they say, nope, this is the vision that we have and we're going to stick to that.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it's going to be. It's just like, okay, but is that to the benefit of the talent? Sometimes it's not.
Right.
That's where I look at it. So yeah, for WWE, it's just kind of this weird week that once again, like, they're doing shows, nothing really exciting. We're just kind of drifting to the next, you know, pay-per-view. You know, for us here in the United States, kind of out of sight, out of mind right now when it comes to them a little bit because they are overseas doing the European tour. So it's just kind of this weird little, it's still this weird little period for them right now. And I'm not exactly sure what they can do, what they will do. Can they, you know, like you said, can they do something to juice things up? You know, they could. It's just whether or not they're really going to pull the trigger on that. I don't think they're going to. I think they're just going to try to ride it out and get to that point and say, all right, here comes SummerSlam. Here we go, you know, and we can do all the cool stuff then. WWE is going to be starting up their UK show, apparently, coming up later on in the month. And it was announced, Jim Ross announced it himself even, that he is going to be calling that show with Nigel McGuinness, which is a very smart move for a couple of reasons. I think Jim Ross is the right guy to get over the UK talent with us American fans. And then also, there's so much programming that's on the network. And there's also just so much programming WWE-wise when it comes to actually wrestling shows. So they need something to make the UK show stand out. And it needs to be more than just, hey, there's UK talents that maybe you don't necessarily watch. So now they've got a familiar face on there, a beloved guy in Jim Ross. And if you want to hear Jim Ross call action, you got to go out of your way to watch the UK show.
Yeah, and that's a good way to anchor with a big name whenever you know that the UK talents don't have that same notoriety here in the United States. And it will be interesting to see the dynamic between Nigel McGuinness and Jim Ross. I think that's what I'm most curious about is how well do they do together? What is their chemistry like on screen or on the microphone? But more curious, I'm really surprised that WWE is letting Jim Ross do other stuff outside of WWE, especially if he's doing play-by-play for WWE at the same time.
Well, JR's obviously doing his work with New Japan Pro Wrestling for Access TV. And his contract with that, I think, is not up until the end of the year. They're going to be announcing, and I say they, Access TV is going to be announcing, along with New Japan, I believe on May 18th, like what the plans are for the New Japan shows that are going to be in Long Beach on July 1st and July 2nd. And it looks like one or maybe both of those shows are going to be carried live on Access TV. Okay. I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Okay.
I think Mauro Ranallo is going to call those shows.
Okay.
I think we are going to get to a point. I mean, I could be way off on this. Uh-huh. But I know Mauro's contract with WWE does not expire until like August 12th. I think we all see how this is going to play out, that at some point, whether it's at the end of the year or before then, that now that Jim Ross is under WWE contract, that he will not do Access TV anymore going forward. And they will have Mauro Ranallo back on the call for New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access TV. I think that maybe the two sides could come to a deal sooner where WWE just says, Mauro, we're going to let you out of your contract right now. Go do it. And that also takes Jim Ross off of New Japan Pro Wrestling and makes him a total WWE guy.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. When you put it like that, it would make more sense to have them switch. But didn't Jim Ross say publicly he was still going to do those broadcasts?
I don't know if he did or not.
Okay, and I heard that in the
stop
news.
Stop trying to throw my theories out of the water, okay? I'm trying to come up with bold predictions here to make me try to look smart.
Well, either way, I would not see this being a long-term partnership moving forward for Jim Ross and New Japan or Access, because I think it does look bad at a certain point to have Jim Ross do your competition.
Well, especially when it's, the number two wrestling promotion in the world.
Right.
And, it's a company that's trying to, make a position here in the United States. Like, not like, hey, we're going after WWE, but it's like, hey, we're going to start doing some shows in the U.S. and we're going to expand here a little bit, you know?
Exactly.
Let's see. We'll get some questions here in just a minute. I want to ask you about this. So when it comes to the network, because obviously this UK show is going to be on the network, how much of the network do you watch? How much? I'm curious how much of the network people watch and what is it they're watching? Like, is it original programming? Is it wrestling shows? Because there's so much good TV that is out there that people watch, and, between sporting events or your favorite movies or television shows that are out there, so many original series between Amazon and Netflix and, whatnot. And then you have the network as well. And if you want to go back to watch old wrestling shows or if you want to watch some of the programming there, how much do you watch?
Let me ask you a question, Brian.
Okay.
Why would I watch Dinner for Two or whatever?
Dinner for Three.
Why would I watch that?
Well, sometimes there's some interesting conversations between the guys and they tell stories that maybe you hadn't heard of before.
Why would I watch that show where they drive around or whatever that show is called?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I watch Swerved?
Swerved was a little bit wacky.
So here's the deal. To answer your question, me as a consumer of most kinds of media, we should talk about Guardians of the Galaxy too, but me as a consumer of most kinds of media, I do enjoy watching the Edge and Christian show. I think it's goofy fun. And I like that because that style of humor is not something we get a lot of in WWE or in entertainment outside of Adult Swim, something like that. I do watch some of the documentaries when they pop up because I think they're incredibly fascinating, the behind-the-scenes look. And I love that stuff as a wrestling fan. But if I'm watching the network, if I just want to find something to watch, what I'm digging into these days, for the most part, is just old wrestling shows. There was a time when they were doing the Monday Night Wars, that TV show, when they were doing the WrestleMania, the greatest of all time, and did the interviews and the matches, I was watching more of that content, but I find myself now saying, if I want to relive it, let me just go watch old shows of old pay-per-views, old Nitros, because I end up turning on the network as background noise. You want to watch Raw, you want to watch SmackDown, you want to watch NXT every week. That is, for all intents and purposes, my most intensive wrestling watching, but if I want some background noise, old episodes of Raw are great for that, for me to look up every few minutes and say, huh, Stone Cold Steve Austin drinking some beers. That's neat. Or old pay-per-views. Look, Hulk Hogan just won the Undisputed Championship. How cool. That's what I tune into nowadays.
Yeah, and I find myself when I go onto the network, I'll watch the documentaries, like you said. Every now and then, I'll watch a Dinner for Three. It just depends on, which guys are on the show. And same with the other show that you mentioned, the Drive the One. Outside of that, though, I don't, it's mostly just the pay-per-views. And it is a lot of thing where if I turn it on, maybe it's background noise. Like if I do turn on some like an old match or something like that, or an old show, that I'm doing something else. I'm not really dedicating a lot of time towards it. But I'm finding that the things that I'm mostly using the network for whatever reason, is, the documentaries, maybe one of the other shows, and then every blue moon, if I find time and I'm really into it, I'll watch an old show. And then, of course, I'll watch the new pay-per-views.
Yeah, and then that's the thing about it is I don't need to focus on old wrestling. So it's a great, if I wanted to watch Bob's Burgers, which I love Bob's Burgers, or I wanted to watch Fargo, or I wanted to watch Better Call Saul, I'm the kind of person, I sit down and watch that show. I, for the most part, don't use my phone for that hour. But old wrestling is the greatest thing. I'm going to work on something. I'm going to work on writing and work on whatever. I need some background noise. That's what I go to, is old wrestling.
Well, see, the thing for me is, man, you're pretty much the same way, but I'm probably even more. I am a mass consumer of television.
Right.
And I am finding right now, because there's so much good programming that's out there, I am behind. And I'm never going to get caught up. I mean, there's shows that I want to watch I haven't even watched yet.
Yeah.
You know, that like, and I watch a bunch of stuff that's already on. Like on Sunday night, or at some point, I'm always watching like Silicon Valley, and I watch Veep, you know, and I watch Last Week Tonight. And then, you know, I'm watching Better Call Saul during the week. I'm watching Fargo. I want to watch The Americans. I haven't watched any episodes so far this year, but I'm kind of building it up. I did a marathon like a week or two ago, Bosch on Amazon, because I really like that show. Masters of None is coming back on Netflix. And I know that I'm going to steamroll through that show when it comes back. House of Cards is coming back at the end of the month. And right. I know when that comes on, man, like I'm going to sit down and probably within like an 18-hour period, I will watch all 10 episodes.
So how much of a watch purist are you? Like, are you one of those kind of people that you do a lot of things while the TV is on, shows are on? Or do you like sit down and really like, I'm watching The Walking Dead for this hour. If my phone calls or somebody texts me, I might respond, but I'm not going to sit here. Are you a two-screen experience kind of guy?
No.
Or are you a... My phone is over there. I don't need it right now.
I am mostly like, if I'm going to watch a show for the most part, like most programs I watch, it's put everything aside, watch the show.
Yeah.
Now, there are a few things where it's like, this show is cool, but I don't mind doing like, you know, checking my phone, checking Twitter, doing something else like that, you know, a little bit during it. But for the most part, if there's a show I want to watch, I'm watching that show. I'm dedicating my time to that show.
Yeah, that's the way I am is... I need a break from everything else, so I don't live tweet shows. I will sometimes tweet a reaction after the show if I want to. I will live tweet wrestling, of course, but TV shows, dramas, comedies, I don't tend to live. I don't even watch most of them live, though. I'm the kind of person that I watch it on Hulu. I watch it DVR'd on PlayStation View a day or two later. Like, I don't watch anything live, hardly at all.
Do you watch Master of None?
We just finished up the first season. Great show.
It's awesome.
I love it. I love that it captures a certain lifestyle. It captures a certain perspective. I think it really highlights what a certain age group living in big cities feel. And I think that's phenomenal. My big issue with it, and they tackle this a little bit later in the series, is that I think Aziz is a little bit too cute for his own good sometimes. He kind of grates my nerves occasionally, and I'm just like, you're funny, but don't be so annoyingly like, I'm so cute, look at me, ha. You know, that gets on my nerves sometimes.
Okay, real quick.
Guardians.
Give your review for Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm going to sum it up with the exact same way I summed it up on Twitter. And that is this. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, great freaking movie. That was Star Wars for a new generation, right? Had that feel, had that scope. It made me nostalgic for the epic space adventure. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was a Star Trek movie. It was personal. It was more intimate. Not quite as grandiose on the adventure, but a little more heartfelt and a little more meaningful with the emotions.
It was deep, man.
Yeah. Like Star Trek 5? Yeah, like that one.
Which one was that?
That's the one wherever Spock's, they go and kill God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, literally.
Apparently it didn't work because I saw him tag team with Shawn Michaels years later.
No, it was good. It was not as... How do I temper this? This is non-spoiler. We're not going to ruin anything.
Let me ask you this. By the end of the movie, was there a lot of people around you crying?
So that's really an unfair question because I went to see it at 1:30 in the afternoon. And
like during the week or something?
On a Friday. And so there was one person in the front of the theater and there was a couple behind us. But me and my buddy went to see it and it was like we were one of five people in the theater on
Friday.
Were
they bawling? Was anybody else around? Could you hear them tearing up?
No. It was so weird. Okay, you know Marvel is notorious for... basically invented the after credits teaser, right? Like that is their whole gimmick. This movie has like 15 of them, right?
Or four, yeah.
Well, but so this guy in the front row, the people behind us, I couldn't see them, but this guy in the front row, the credits start rolling. He literally gets up and walks out. Oops. And my question is, like, what kind of guy goes to see Guardians of the Galaxy at 1:30 in the afternoon, opening day, and doesn't stick around for... The credit teasers. If you're that invested in Marvel movies to go to an opening day, why would you not stay?
Plus, there's a brief not cameo, some cameo appearance, however you want to place it, of a certain 80s TV star that pops up there too.
Yeah, yeah.
That you have to see. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, don't give anything away. Yeah.
It's somebody that appears there, and also in the music that's playing on the credits, he sings in the middle of the song.
Yeah. I love that this one really did wear its 80s charm on its sleeve. They leaned into that a lot heavier in this, which I think is fantastic. I think a few of the other things felt a little too one note. Drax, great character, great concept, funny at times, but it felt like more of the same from him.
I thought he was really good.
I liked him. I didn't think they went anywhere different with him, which is why I didn't like it.
Did you even know? Okay, so I wouldn't even say the song. There's a certain song. It's not even an 80s song. I think it's a 70s song that they use as a big part of the movie. Mm-hmm. Had you ever even heard of that song before?
Yes. Okay. Most of the music in the movie I'd heard. Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. The one they started the movie with and then brought it back later. Yes. I had never heard that song before, no. It was a lady's name. Yeah, I'd never heard that song before.
God, you're a youngin.
Yeah. I mean, anything before Justin Timberlake, I just don't know. Hey, Brian, you know what? It's going to be May. It already is May, actually. So. God, you're horrible. Oh, I have a joke this week.
Yes.
Is this a joke segment?
We'll talk about Ring of Honor, and then we'll take questions.
Wait, was that like a segue? Have a joke, talk about Ring of Honor. That would be Impact Wrestling.
No. I could have mentioned another promotion if I wanted to segue like that.
Oh. Okay, are you ready for this? You ready for this? This is a good one.
Bring it.
Okay. Did you hear about the can of Coke that got run over?
No, I did not.
It was so depressing. Did that fall a little flat? Did that fall a little flat? Is that what?
Oh no! When you already know what the reaction is going to be, and you have another line to play off the jump from that—that's man.
Well, that's okay.
There it is, everybody. Your joke of the week. It's back.
Well, on the other hand, there was a story about a case of Cokes that fell on this elderly lady, but she didn't get hurt because they were soft drinks.
God.
Oh. Oh,
man.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know if it's funny or
awesome. Amazing.
I guess.
Whatever word you want to use. You're good.
Yeah. So real quick, Ring of Honor has War of the Worlds pay-per-view coming up on Friday night from Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. They're doing a three-way for the title. Christopher Daniels, Cody, and Jay Lethal are going to be in that match. So also on the show, Matt Sydal against Marty Scurll. They're doing the Young Bucks against Los and go, I can never say their freaking name. And go Bernables.
There you go.
I'm horrible at that.
There you go.
Chaos is taking on Bully Ray and the Briscoes for the 6-man titles. They're doing Frankie Kazarian against Adam Hangman Page. Oh, and by the way, if you have not listened to it yet, go back and listen to the interview, the other podcast I did earlier in the week with Hangman Page, talking about where his career is at so far and joining the Bullet Club. He actually joined the Bullet Club, like we talked on Tuesday. It just so happened it was the 1-year anniversary of where he turned and joined the Bullet Club.
Really? Interesting. Yes. Interesting.
So he's a really good dude. So, and he's still really young. He's only 25, and he's just really now coming into his own and getting that spot. So, so it looks like a fun show on paper. I'm curious how many people are really going to go out of their way to watch it, though, because Ring of Honor is in a good spot. And we've talked about this before. I think they could be in a much better spot. The thing that they're really lacking to me right now is promotion. I don't think they get word out there enough about their events. They definitely don't on their TV, because like their TV will be like, oh, look at that. Look at this match that they're doing on TV this week. And then like they aren't even promoting like what's coming up on their pay-per-view half the time. It's just like, come on, that's got to be the spot where you promote your pay-per-view and your matches and everything. And it's just lacking right now.
Do you think it will change any? We know this week the big news was Sinclair bought out, what is it, Tribune Broadcasting.
Here's the thing about that. So that means Sinclair, they already have their Sinclair stations are all around the country in a bunch of different markets. So now they're going to be in some bigger markets as well. Like you can add like New York and Chicago, Washington, D.C., Houston, Dallas, St. Louis. So, I mean, you're talking about some major markets. I believe Los Angeles as well. So that's definitely going to help. But that means they will also going to own WGN, mm-hmm. which is a national channel. Now, that channel is undergoing a new branding. I'm curious to see if Ring of Honor or if Sinclair would put Ring of Honor there. Because to me, that would be a big boost to be on a national channel. And it's a channel that everybody already knows about. Like, you might have a Sinclair channel and you might not know about it. But if you are on WGN, people know about that channel. They're familiar with the channel. They probably heard of the channel. It's easier to find on your dial, whether you have cable or whether you have satellite. Now, the one thing it's not on is some of the over-the-top platforms.
Yeah, like, it's not.
It's not on PlayStation View and things like that. But, I mean, there's some other places it's probably not on either. But, I mean, Sinclair stations aren't on there either. So,
Well, and the thing about it is a network like WGN would give you the flexibility to actually give it a time slot and promote absolutely. That time slot instead of what happens now where it might come on Saturday night at midnight or Sunday at 9 or it's random across the nation. So you can't say, hey, fans, tune in this week at this time. That's a challenge.
And the other thing is, too, like Sinclair, you know, and not part of this deal, but previously, they bought the tennis channel. And it looks like they were going to rebrand that into a sports channel. So would they put Ring of Honor there, or would they put them on WGN? I don't know if they're going to put them on either of those channels. They might just keep them on the Sinclair channels.
There's a channel dedicated to tennis?
There was a channel. Yeah, the tennis channel.
Did they have, like, was it, like, all kinds of tennis? Like, here, we're going to do tennis this week, and then we're going to do a show for table tennis, and then maybe Mario tennis? Like, how do you have a network entirely dedicated to one sport like
they
tennis?
Showed a lot of the different regional tournaments
that tennis
would
on.
And they would have, like, highlights from big events from, you know, from previous U.S. Opens or Australian Opens or French Opens or Wimbledon.
I bet fans were flocking to that, weren't they? Mm.
Hey, man, yeah. You know, every now and then you turn it on. And when they had that, you know, the infamous match between Aaron Krickstein and Jimmy Connors at the U.S. Open, the night match that went on until like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fantastic match.
That's what happened to your Cubs this week, right? Your Cubs, they had like a 20 overtime game or extra 20 inning game.
They had an 18 inning game that they ended up losing. And I stayed up for all 18 innings. I stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning here on the East Coast and they lost.
How long was that game?
6 hours.
That's 6 hours of your life you'll never get back. Congratulations.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Uh-huh. So. You're welcome.
No, but when it comes to Sinclair, I don't know if they're going to put him on one of those channels to where they can get that dedicated time slot and it's a bigger channel that people can see him on, or if they're going to keep him on the regional, even if they are in more markets. But, I mean, they obviously could benefit if they were on a station like WGN and it's like, you knew, like, every Friday night at 8 o'clock it's going to be Ring of Honor television. But it goes back to the biggest thing for me that Ring of Honor needs to do is they need to promote themselves better. And I think this all comes down to what does Sinclair want to do? And I'm not saying, hey, we're going to make a run at WWE. Okay. They're not going to do that. You know, I mean, they've got a lot of money. It almost feels to me like it's cool that we own Ring of Honor, but we only want to put so much into it. We only want to invest so much money and time into it. It's almost like a vanity project that we've got this cool wrestling promotion here, but it's just kind of off on the side. Yeah, we own it, but it is what it is.
It reminds me of WCW before WCW had Monday Nitro, before Eric Bischoff kind of took the reins and said, we're going to do X, Y, and Z with it. In so much as it's a side project, it's not heavily promoted. The shows that come on are kind of mishmash, and they lead towards feuds at pay-per-views, but it doesn't have that feeling of something really big. Something that is mainstream, and production values have always been a part of that. So Ring of Honor needs to do more to kind of break through that barrier. It's the same challenge that we're going to have with the new NWA and Billy Corgan. This is what Ring of Honor reminds me of to a certain extent. Regional wrestling, even though Ring of Honor is nationwide, it feels like regional wrestling, and that does the product they have a disservice. Whereas Impact, creatively being in the funk that they are, still feels like a main event production because they go out there, they put on these shows, they have the crowds, the lights, they promote pay-per-views if they still even do those. It's a different feel, and you've got to capture that or you'll always feel like a regional promotion.
Let's get to some questions. Everybody can submit your questions on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskBTR. You can also check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/betweentheropes. Or you can send us an email. It's, what is it?
BTRmailbag@gmail.com. That is BTRmailbag@gmail.com.
I spaced on that. For some reason, I couldn't remember it. So what do you
it's
got
for
questions?
It's your own email address, Brian. It's the one we use.
I know.
Let's jump in here to the old mailbag. And keep in mind, too, folks, if you want to, you send us questions. We love questions. It gives us some conversation. Send us ideas. Send us things that are on your mind. Let's also not chat about wrestling all the time. You can tell we're fans of pop culture, of TV shows. Ask us something wild and wacky, and we'll maybe put together an answer for it. Of course, let's just kick it off today with Francis. Francis, I haven't had a chance to read your email in a while and your endless list of questions. Francis writes in, do you think we could see The Miz winning the WWE title? He said, what do you think we would see first? The Miz winning the WWE title or the UK getting a major pay-per-view in the next 5 years?
If The Miz stays on Raw, I'm going to say that the way Raw is constructed right now, with the roster, I'd say UK getting a pay-per-view.
I disagree with that. There's the UK is not getting a pay-per-view. Well, no. I take that back. I think you're right. That's tough, though. The WWE could put a Wembley Stadium. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could do a pay-per-view in the UK and attract some attention to it.
So say they got a pay-per-view.
Okay.
And I don't think they can go over there for just any pay-per-view. Which one do you think they would get? Because remember, there's the time issue here, because they're going to be 5 hours ahead of the East Coast.
I think they would get an added event. I don't think they're going to get a normal one. I think WWE will give them, like, Payback Volume 2 or whatever they call it. In your house.
Oh, God.
Insurrection. They bring back Insurrection.
Cyber Tuesday. I don't think they would get SummerSlam. I don't think SummerSlam's going anywhere. Survivor Series?
No. They did Survivor Series.
What about Royal Rumble? Could they get a Rumble?
I don't think they're moving any of the big four out. I think they did last year for Survivor Series.
What about Money in the Bank?
Yeah. That could happen.
I could see Money in the Bank.
That could happen.
I think that would be pretty cool to actually do something like that, too.
But I think what they'll do, knowing WWE, I think they'll theme it in a way that will feel like it'll be a UK pay-per-view. That's just what they do. And that's what they'll end up having. Yeah. Have a little phone booth out there. Have the little car. Will you be watching the upcoming season of Total Bellas since you could be on it, Brian?
I will wait till somebody says, hey, I saw you on Total Bellas, and then I will go and watch that episode. Mm. Or if I see like a teaser on Raw or SmackDown that says, this week on Total Bellas, you know, Nikki takes over WrestleMania Radio Row, then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to watch this episode.
That's the show for you. Yep. You want to watch to see if you're on.
That's the one where we become stars.
That's right. Oh, become stars. I'm sorry.
Become stars on that show.
Oh, yeah. That's our media plan. That's how we're branching out, is by taking over Total Bellas next.
Absolutely. Do you think Nikki lied to us?
About what?
About the marriage proposal and everything when we talked to her.
No, she's too honest for that.
Okay.
No, kayfabe is dead, Brian. Kayfabe is dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to one more from Francis, just because he writes in so many. Which season finales are you looking forward to seeing in the next couple of weeks?
Let's think. Better Call Saul, probably the most, right?
Yeah.
I haven't watched The Americans yet. That's got to be coming, though. What are they, probably 3 or 4 episodes away from that?
I don't know. I'm a year behind on it.
Mm.
I was going to say, the only thing that comes to mind for me is Better Call Saul, because everything else I'm a year or two behind on.
Catch up, slacker.
Yeah, well, that's the way I do it now. I don't have to pay for cable because I'm keeping up with everything.
Do you watch Bloodline?
No. I'm going to, though, so don't you spoil.
Well, here's the thing with me, though. I started watching Bloodline. I got like three episodes into it, and I stopped watching. And now they're getting ready to start the third and final season. It's the same with me with like The Leftovers. Like, people are going nuts about The Leftovers, and they're coming up with their final episode, right?
I love Leftovers. It's my favorite meal.
I was watching that show when it first started airing, and I got kind of bored with it.
Yeah.
Because people even said, like, you got to stick with it for a little while, right? So I think I watched like four episodes, and then people said, I remember last year people going, oh, the second season's incredible. And now they're on the third season, people are like, this is the best show on TV. And I'm like, I'm not watching. You know, they're coming up on the finale.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the whole thing for me, is if you're not going to watch it week by week, like Game of Thrones, I keep up with, Better Call Saul, just by habit, Walking Dead. There's so many shows nowadays, it's just easier for me to catch up on later on. And part of the reason I don't watch Bloodline, honestly, is because we're currently watching Friday Night Lights, which is a great show, but I have a hard time with the main actor being in both shows with totally different personalities. So anyway, back to the point. I'm looking forward to Better Call Saul. That is a great show. You should watch it. Let's move on to another question. Francis, thank you. We'll talk lots about all your other questions. He says, from Francis, from jolly old England, like where Breezango was with the Fashion Police. So there you go.
I want to be an honorary member of the Fashion Police.
Oh, look, we got a late breaking question here. Peter Warlock wrote in, and Peter, I had your question from the chat room too, but let's just jump in here since you have some wrestling related questions. Peter Warlock writes in, he says, do you folks think that New Japan Pro Wrestling might buy Ring of Honor in the near future to establish its brand in the U.S.?
No, I don't. I think they like having the partnership that they do with Ring of Honor, and I think they get a lot out of that. I don't see them buying Ring of Honor anytime soon, but they'll continue to work with them.
Yeah. This is Trump's America, so any merger is possible.
How about all that talk? Remember not too long ago where people said, oh, Ring of Honor is going to get sold to WWE. I don't know if they talked or what the level of those discussions were. I have a feeling that those talks were, hey, we'd like to get our hands on some stuff from your library.
Right, certain things.
Maybe along the line, somebody said, oh, would you guys ever think you're for sale? And they're like, no. You know, or, oh, for the right price, you know, everything's for sale. And they're like, eh, you know, and, you know, it was more of a library thing. And people were freaking out when that happened. Oh, my God, Ring of Honor's going to go out of business. You know, WWE's going to buy them. They're going to ruin them. And, you know, so long, Ring of Honor. And I love it. It's never going to be the same. And that's not happening.
Wrestling fans always find a reason to freak out. You know how it is. Welcome to wrestling. All right. Next question here. This is always a fun topic. Should Finn Balor move to the cruiserweights because of his size? As well as have feuds with Neville and Austin Aries, which would bring more eyes on the cruiserweights.
No, because we see what happens with the cruiserweights.
Yeah.
And it's those guys just get lost in the ether. I mean, they're cruiserweights. They can have some great matches, and there's some really talented guys in there, like you just mentioned, like Aries and Neville. But we see where the importance is, and it's not on the cruiserweights. It's not on 205 Live. I mean, it's just... it's a show that's just out there that people don't care that much about.
Austin Aries is the prime example. And Austin Aries is the kind of guy that should have come in and been a huge name. And maybe not like huge in terms of being the major star, but he could have made a splash. He's got a record. People know him on the cruiserweight division. Or now he's on 205 Live. Nobody ever talks about him. And it's because he's in WWE. But that umbrella is just the Netherland.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave this one to you, Brian, real quick before we transition to a couple other questions here. Peter Warlock, final question. Who are the indie stars that WWE should recruit?
Well, number one is Ricochet, and Ricochet would love to be there, I think. He's tied up with Lucha Underground and is battling them with their contracts. He's even put a couple of things out recently about he cryptically is talking about how he doesn't think it's fair, the way that he's still under contract there when he obviously does not want to be. So Ricochet would be at the top of my list. I think they're going to look at some other guys like, Will Ospreay would have been really good, but now he's with Ring of Honor. Trying to think who else is out there. Keith Lee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else can I think of at the top of my head? And a lot of the other guys are with other promotions now. They're with, you know, Ring of Honor, they're with New Japan. I will say this, though. okay, when we talk about new, if you want to talk about new stars, but guys you think could end up going to WWE, I'm still convinced that within the next year or two, I think the Young Bucks could go there.
Yeah.
I think once they really start feeling it with their bodies and they say, yeah, we're going to have to work a lot of dates, but you don't have to work the style necessarily, I think that's when maybe they would go.
Mm-hmm. It's I just saw something pop up on Twitter that totally derailed my train of thought.
No, I'm bringing. I'm trying to bring up another list. Like Keith Lee
There's a sign. Somebody said, "What does this person say?" Lance Storm tweeted out, "Hey, her fans can't spell, but It's Bailey WWE has been over since 1998." And he shows a screenshot from an old WWF Raw where somebody holds up a sign that says "Bailey 316." Oh hell yeah! And I'm assuming it's in reference to the alcoholic beverage of Bailey's, but. It's pretty hilarious. Bailey 316.
No, I was just checking to Keith Lee. I got that right. So yeah, Keith Lee is a guy that an enormous guy that's very athletic, and he's doing a lot of, he's done like Wrestle Circus and some other places. So he would be a guy I would definitely look at.
Yeah. Look at a few more questions here. Actually, we got a story. Somebody wrote in with a story this week involving the Russian bear, Ivan Koloff. I want to tell a story involving, this is Jeff DiMario. I want to tell a story involving the late great Russian bear Ivan Koloff. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. In our area, there is a wrestling promotion, Northern Wrestling Federation. A few wrestlers have come through NWF, including Abyss, Wildcat Chris Harris, the Machine Gun himself, Carl Anderson. One event probably close to 15 years ago, they had a special guest, the Russian bear Ivan Koloff. I was probably 12 or 13 at the time and had never heard of him. I talked to him a little at intermission and he told me how he was a former world champion. Well, the show came back on and I went back to my seat to watch the show and cheer on all the good guys boo the bad guys. Blah blah blah. At the gas station next door, I was walking to get a drink and in steps Ivan Koloff. He seemed interesting the few minutes I got to speak to him prior to the show, so I stopped him. He could have brushed my young self off and said he didn't have time, but he didn't. He told me how he teamed up with Nikolai Volkov and beat the great Bruno Sammartino and some stories about the road. Couldn't believe I just met a legend. Later, I saw him in video games as the Legend of Wrestling series. I just wanted to share this story in honor of his passing. One of the nicest wrestlers I've ever met, and I've been fortunate to meet a few of them, but not many.
That's awesome, cool. Man.
Yeah.
It's always cool when you get to run into somebody that you look up to and you have a positive experience off of it.
Well, especially whenever you meet them just happenstance like that, and they really do drive home the wrestlers can be good guys. Celebrities can be really nice guys. So.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we almost missed something here. Congratulations to Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, you're right.
On their little girl, Birdie Joe, was born on, was it Tuesday night? Wednesday night?
I think it was Tuesday night. Yeah, my wife hates that name. She thinks it's a stupid name.
Just before midnight, she was born. A little over 8 pounds, I believe. So yep. Congratulations to the couple on the birth of their firstborn.
Yep, that's awesome. Good for them. That's what they wanted to do after wrestling, and I think it's a
I
really...
I like Birdie Joe. It sounds very 50s.
Yeah. Let me think. I think there's one more email in the mailbag, and then we'll get to a couple of questions on the Twitterverse. Jamie File was discussing gender's push the other day with a friend and wondered, are the WWE pushing the secondary belt on SmackDown to somewhat have parity with Raw, where the top belt holder is not around most of the time? I'm just kind of baffled. This is the marquee feud at the present. Mahal and Orton, the latter bores me to tears as a baby face. Thanks, guys. Jamie. So he's basically saying, do you think they're doing this so that their championship can be on the same level, that the Intercontinental Championship can be on the same level as the U.S. Championship, or vice versa, I guess?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think they're doing it, too, because they're going with the unknown when it comes to the championship match of SmackDown, heavyweight championship. So with Jinder Mahal against Randy Orton. So in the meantime, they're like, we got to do something with our other guys that we have. And we've got major stars and AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. Let's put them together. And that's going to feel like a big time match as well. I mean, look even what they're doing with Shinsuke Nakamura against Dolph Ziggler, because they're building that match up to be something as well, like the debut of Shinsuke on the main roster.
Right. Well, so, you protect yourself a little bit if the new champion doesn't get put over, you know. That's a great way to do it.
Think about this one, too. We don't have to answer this now, okay? But let's think about for next week, because we'll be previewing the pay-per-view. Will they end the pay-per-view with the WWE championship match?
Yes. We'll talk about it next week.
I told you to think about it, man.
I will think about it between now and then, but I already know my answer.
Dear God.
Got a question from the chat room. I want to drop this in here for a minute. A full name Huggy. Question, do you think there will be a Raw Money in the Bank at Money in the Bank, and who will win as of now? There will not be. This is a SmackDown pay-per-view, is my understanding.
Yeah, it'll be
and
a
that
smack-
was done yeah. because Brock Lesnar was not going to be around. The SmackDown, I understand, fought for it so they could have it themselves. They'll do something interesting with it. Who do you think is going to win?
If I had to choose right now, I'd say Baron Corbin.
Okay. So much talent over there. So much talent. Jinder Mahal, he cashes in.
Can you imagine, like, Jinder loses to Randy and everybody's like, all right, you know, they tried, good for them. And then Jinder wins Money in the Bank. They're like, oh, geez.
Baron Corbin's a good pick.
I know he is. That's why I took him.
The other interesting thing could be AJ Styles. Not AJ that he needs to be Money in the Bank, but it would be fun to have him with the briefcase for a little bit.
Would you like to see Luke Harper with the briefcase?
No.
Oh, what a shot at Luke.
I'm good. Tim Clements writes in, our good friend Tim. Any chance we ever see Paige? This is on Twitter. Tim writes in, any chance we ever see Paige in a WWE ring again? Maybe near her movie. And where is Eva Marie post-suspension? Hashtag ask BTR.
She's still off on a far-off vacation land right now. Yeah. I don't think Eva Marie's ever coming back. I think that she will be released and she'll be doing more movies. As for Paige, I'm going to say no. Even though they are doing the movie, I'm going to say no.
It's weird. Isn't it weird that they're doing this and that she's not around? And
have you seen that the movie is going to be like a comedy?
Is it? That's weird. Oh, it's all so weird. I thought it was a drama. It's even weirder if it's a comedy.
I thought so, but it sounds like there's going to be a lot of comedic elements to this.
So it's
kind of like the Observer had a story about this week talking about where they believe the script is like the family is doing the wrestling promotion and, you know, they're about to go under. They're all broke. They got the two kids and they do this thing where the kids get tryouts with WWE but have no experience.
Mm.
And then they end up catching on there somehow.
Mm.
It's real weird.
Mm.
How about, did you see where Linda McMahon, I believe, said that she thinks that the Vince McMahon movie will never see the light of day?
Yeah, interesting. I have a similar feeling in the gut of my stomach. Not in that incarnation.
Well, I definitely don't want to see, like, some of the scripts that are out there about it. I want to see something that can be a lot better and more real than that.
Yeah. I think that it will take Vince, and this is not to bash on Vince McMahon, I think he has to pass away before you get a good movie put into production about his life. Just saying, I think that's what's got to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to wrap us up. I think that's all the questions we got.
Is that all the questions we got?
I love this comment somebody made talking about pay-per-views in the UK. They said, well, they'll get Great Balls of Fire. So,
well, next year you can look forward to July's Great Balls of Fire.
And on that note...
And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. We appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us here on YouTube and do the same, whether it's on iTunes or Stitcher. You can also find us on the TuneIn app. We're on SoundCloud and also on Google Play. Rate and review the podcast. That helps us out a lot. If we can move up the ranks and you provide us some good feedback as well, feel free to do that, whether you want to leave feedback on iTunes or if you want to do it elsewhere. Send us emails at btrmailbag@gmail.com. You can do it there. You can send your questions there. You can also give us feedback on Twitter. Just follow us at Between the Ropes. Also, I'm on Twitter at Brian Fritz. Michael is on there at The Real Wiseman. And you can check out the Facebook page as well. It is facebook.com/Between the Ropes. So we appreciate everybody for listening. Be on the lookout for some other podcasts coming up here. And then Mikey and I will be back next week, as always, to do the podcast. Are we doing, what are we looking, Wednesday, Thursday next week? I think Wednesday.
Yeah, I think we're shooting for Wednesday, but let me check the calendar and we'll post it up on the social media.
It's all on Mike at this point.
It's all on me. I do everything. I shoulder the responsibilities.
No, I mean, yeah. It's all up to your schedule. We're all wrapping our lives around you at this point.
I control it all.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, exactly. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you next week right here, Between the Ropes.